They say you shouldn't sweat the small stuff, but that doesn't mean you can't ignore the big stuff either. Hi, I'm Rob West. When it comes to finances and especially investing, it's important to get the big moves right. Mark Biller joins us today to go over the things that need special attention. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, my friend Mark Biller is our guest today. He's the executive editor at Sound Mind Investing, an underwriter of this program, and a place where they always get the big moves right. Mark, great to have you back with us.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate that.
So, Mark, you've got a great article on this really important topic in the latest Sound Mind Investing newsletter, and it's really about setting priorities, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that's right, Rob. You know, 25 years ago or so when I first started writing for SMI, there was a popular personal finance idea that was going around, and it was loosely known as the latte factor. You may remember this. But the idea was that focusing on your small daily spending decisions, like making your coffee at home instead of buying it every day at a coffee shop, or bringing your lunch to work instead of eating out, that those types of small financial decisions were really the primary lever to help people get control of their finances. And proponents of that idea, and admittedly, I've made this argument myself, they'd run the numbers and basically say, you know, if you stopped spending $5 a day on fancy coffee and invested that money instead, by the time you're 70 years old, you could be a zillionaire.
Right.
And the thing about this, Rob, is you and I both know this idea is actually partly correct. You know, when somebody's trying to get control of their finances, everything matters. But what happened was eventually the industry, the financial community, kind of came around to recognizing that while those small spending decisions do matter, getting the big financial decisions right, like how much you spend on your house or on your car, those decisions matter a lot more. And you can kind of boil it down to this. You know, I don't really care how disciplined your coffee game is. If you spend $150,000 too much on your house, more than you can afford, you're really going to have some big financial problems.
That's right.
So the big idea of the article that we're discussing today is that this same principle applies to investing, and getting the big things right really is crucial.
I think that's well said, Mark, and something that I think our listeners really need to consider. By the way, Mark is going to be answering your questions today on anything investing related. A few things going on in the markets these days, so you may have some financial questions, investing related questions. You can call today with those, 800-525-7000. All right, Mark, before the first break, what are the major things we should focus on?
Yeah, well, what a lot of people don't realize is that successful investing is really more about behavioral factors than financial knowledge. In other words, it has more to do with how you behave than how the market behaves. And that should be good news because we don't have any control over what the market does, but we have a lot of control over what we do as individuals. So the article covers seven big factors that are going to impact your success as an investor. And all of these are within your direct control. Now, the first of those seven factors is whether you have an investment plan.
Yeah.
And so to paraphrase the Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland, if you don't know where you're going, it doesn't matter which way you go.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully, listeners aren't that nonchalant about their finances and financial future. The point is simply that to get to your financial destination, it's really going to help if you have a detailed plan. So a good retirement plan normally starts with figuring out your target retirement date and how much money you hope to have in your retirement portfolio by that date. And from those two starting points, you can work backwards to figure out the best steps for accomplishing that.
Yeah, that's really helpful. We're talking today with Mark Biller, our good friend and executive editor at Sound Mind Investing, about the big moves, getting those right. You know, you can make some small incremental moves, and we don't want to minimize that, but getting those big moves right is probably the key to long-term success in your financial savings and investments. As we live out a biblical worldview, we want to think about how much is enough. But we also know that we're to set aside a portion of what God entrusts to us. When we come back, Mark will continue to unpack those big moves, plus your questions today, investing-related questions, your 401k, your investments. Call right now, 800-525-7000. A quick break and back with much more. Stay with us.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Israel had seen God's power firsthand when they were led out of Egypt. Yet, when the promised land drew near, they doubted. Their rebellion led to God's judgment, and rightly so. But in that crucial moment, Moses did something. He stood between God and Israel. Moses prayed, "In accordance with your great love, forgive the sin of these people, just as you have pardoned them from the time they left Egypt until now." That's Numbers 14. And guess what? God showed mercy. What Moses did then is a picture of Jesus, the greater intercessor who now stands before the Father on our behalf, who are in Christ as we live in His grace now and forever. You'll grow in your walk with Christ through time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Every weekday, strengthen your family and your faith with Family Talk.
I had the same brain when I was at the bottom of the class that I had at the top of the class. Exactly the same brain, but a different attitude. What does that tell us about our responsibility to develop the intellect of the people and our spheres of influence?
Don't miss Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson every weekday at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central on AFR.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, Mark Biller, our good friend, executive editor at Sound Mind Investing and underwriter of this program. He joins us regularly with his market insights and commentary. Today, talking about getting the big moves right when it comes to your investing. We'll also be taking your calls and questions today, specifically on the topic of investing, the markets, your 401k, saving for retirement, anything in that general domain. We'd love to hear from you. The number, 800-525-7000. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. Mark, before we head to the phones, let's get to this second big idea, and that it has to do with how much you invest each month, right?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, it's startling, Rob, when you look at the statistics, how few people have ever quantified how much money am I going to need when I want to retire. And if you don't have that target, then it's really hard to get to that second step, which, as you just mentioned, is figuring out how much do I need to invest every month in order to hit that long-term goal. Now, generally speaking, as you're starting to think about how much you need to invest each month, you know, this is going to depend somewhat on how early you start saving. If you start early and you're in the accumulation phase, then for most folks, investing 10 to 15% of their monthly gross income is probably going to be in the ballpark to build a decent retirement nest egg. For older folks, they may have to bump that up if they haven't saved when they're younger. Now, there are some free, less detailed retirement planning calculators available online that can help people with this. SMI members have a tool that we provide called Money Guide, which is a really powerful, detailed retirement planning tool that's available through their SMI membership. But it might be worth, you know, a quick search for listeners who aren't SMI members to try to find a retirement planning calculator for that. That, you know, once you figure out how much you're going to be investing each month, that's going to lead you into the third big factor, and that is, okay, I know how much to invest, but what do I invest in? And so that third big factor is figuring out what your asset allocation should look like. Yeah. And it's important to remember, you know, there's no such thing as a perfect portfolio that's going to help you navigate the right side of every single market move. Instead, what you're really shooting for is the right mix of investments, and that's going to be the one that's going to most closely match your time horizon and your personal risk tolerance. And we're really talking about splitting your money between stocks and bonds. Those are the two biggest buckets for most people. We have a risk tolerance quiz on the SMI website that can help people figure out how much they should have in stocks versus bonds, the appropriate level of risk. And that's going to help your portfolio generate not only the level of gains that you need when the market's going up, but also, probably more importantly, what's an acceptable level of risk and losses in market downturns like we've had over the last month or so.
Yeah, that's really helpful. By the way, folks, if you check out soundmindinvesting.org, you'll find not only this article, Getting the Big Moves Right, you'll see a link right there to the risk tolerance quiz. Both of those could be helpful. And just to circle back to what Mark said about Money Guide, you know, accessing Money Guide, if you're a DIY investor, is an incredible tool. It's worth the price of admission by far to be an SMI member. And then you get the newsletter and access to their incredible investment recommendations as well. Again, all of that at soundmindinvesting.org. All right, let's begin to take some phone calls today. We will be taking your calls for Mark Biller today on investing-related topics. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Tennessee. Hi, Fred. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. I'm a retired school teacher from California. My house here in Tennessee is paid for. All cars are paid for. The only thing I spend is for utilities and entertainment. Now, about 5-6 years ago, I put $2,000 a month into a 403B from Midland at 10% guaranteed for the first 6 years. And then after that, it was 6%. Got about $100,000 in the account, and my current retirement salary is $83,000 a year. I'm wondering where I could put some more money and the tax, any tax advantages or disadvantages to have that 403B, because I know I got to take out about $3,000 a year. What would you recommend?
Mark?
Yeah. Yeah, so, Fred, so you're earning 6% on the money in that at this point still?
Yes. Yes.
And you're looking to invest some additional money, but you probably can't put that into this plan as well. Is that correct?
That's true. That is very true.
Oh.
It's a middle one. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but it's very good.
Yeah. 6%, you know, with very low risk is really attractive. So that's great. For the additional money, you know, it sounds like the investment income and Social Security, Fred, are those meeting your retirement expenses right now?
I don't qualify for Social Security. Back in the 80s, I made a mistake of deciding not to take to opt out of Social Security. Okay, but I do get Medicare. That's a biggie for me. We're very, very comfortable here. I just want to do a little bit more.
Okay. Well, I would assume that you're wanting to keep this, you know, pretty conservative, the investment that you would be making. You know, right now, bond yields are okay, but not great. But, you know, they are keeping up with inflation, at least, maybe a little more than inflation. So there are some options there that you can do that are pretty safe. You know, the easiest way is usually to use a bond fund. These days, with interest rates rising, a lot of people like to actually lock in individual bonds so they don't have to worry about those interest rates moving higher and moving against them. And so some of the options, like with Treasury Direct, where you can buy bonds directly from the government through a Treasury Direct account, might be a good option. As far as the tax advantages, Rob, what do you know about that off the top of your head?
Yeah, and so where is this money today, Fred? Is it just in a savings account, or are you talking about the money that you put away in the retirement account?
Well, I've got about $45,000 saved in a credit union, which I can tap it at any time. But the 100, I think it's 102, it's in that 403B, and it's just it's sitting there.
Yeah.
And
okay. It's so you've got the tax deferral there, which is a good thing. So that's going to continue to grow tax-free. So whether you put it into the bond fund, like Mark suggested, or maybe you know, you split it. What did you say your age was?
75.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, typically we would say, you know, you might want to have a somewhere around 30% still in a stock mutual fund for some growth, and then maybe, you know, the 70% in the bond fund, short and medium term duration, like Mark suggested. You're going to get that tax deferral. Yes, where you're going to have to take some out every year, but if you've separated from employment, you could roll it out to an IRA, and for that portion you have to take out, if you want to do some charitable giving, you could get it out tax-free. Stay on the line. We'll finish up off the air. We'll be right back.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
The most rewarding thing about my job is that we get to build relationships through our donors and our supporters and get to have that personal relationship with them.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, Mark Biller here today. We're talking investing. What are the big moves you need to make in your financial life related to investing? We started today by talking about a few of those, having an investment plan, how much you invest each month, and then your asset allocation. Mark, I want to continue to unpack those. By the way, we will be bringing some more calls into the mix here. We've got a few holding now, 800-525-7000. We'll get to those in just a moment. But our previous caller, Mark, Fred, really hit on this next big move, and that is, okay, I've got this money that I've accumulated. Now, how do I choose my investments? And that's obviously core to what you all do at SMI, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, at SMI, our focus really is building objective, process-driven investment strategies that are going to help our members build the types of diversified portfolios we're talking about. And then we walk with them step by step whenever it's time to sell a particular holding and help them buy whatever's next that the strategy's calling for. You know, some other investors that are not SMI members, they just focus on combining the right blend of stock and bond index funds to create a diversified portfolio that doesn't have to change much over time. And that's a valid approach as well. The main thing for listeners is whatever approach you choose, you want to put some thought into this. You don't want to get sucked into buying things based on random articles that you see or things that you hear on financial TV. And I would suggest really trying to focus on establishing a good process for selecting investments rather than focusing too much initially on the specific things you're going to buy first. Don't be in a hurry. Figure out your process. And then kind of coupled with that, Rob, the next point in the article is that you want to pick an appropriate benchmark to measure your results against, because a lot of people will just automatically assume, well, the thing I always hear on TV is the S&P 500, so I should be comparing my results to that. Well, that's great if your whole portfolio is in the large company U.S. stocks that the S&P 500 measures. But if you're in a portfolio like Fred's, our last caller, where it's mostly bonds, that's going to be a completely inappropriate benchmark, and it's going to skew your perception because you're going to think, well, my portfolio is no good. The 6% I'm getting in my 403B is terrible if the S&P 500 is going up 10% every year. Well, you're comparing apples and oranges there. So you gotta find an appropriate benchmark for your portfolio. And that's something, of course, our SMI newsletter tries to help people do. What we really try to help people focus on, though, Rob, is instead of comparing it to some benchmark like the S&P 500, the better way to measure whether your portfolio is succeeding or not is to compare it to the average return that you need to achieve in order to meet your personal financial goals. Yeah. And that number comes from what we were talking about earlier when you're setting up your plan. What do I need that nest egg to look like? What do I need in terms of returns to achieve that? And then as long as you're meeting that goal, whether or not you're beating the market, which seems to be, you know, everybody's favorite goal, it feels great. But the really important thing is whether you're getting the returns you need to hit your objectives.
Boy, that is such a key idea. Yeah, it's really not just about beating the benchmark. It's taking as little risk as possible to accomplish your God-given goals and objectives. Well said, Mark. All right, back to the phones we go. Martin's been waiting patiently there in Mississippi. Go ahead, sir.
Hello there. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes.
Go ahead with your question.
Okay. I'm 56 years old. First time being on a radio. By the way, you got a great program. I've heard y'all numerous times over. I listen to AFR constantly.
Awesome.
And I'm a trucker on the road for a very large retail company. And yeah, my wife used to be in real estate. Of course, we all know that's crashed pretty much in certain areas. Yeah. No movement. She's had no salary with me for 2 years. I'm the sole provider. My mother lives with us now, and I'm trying to figure out a way how I can start investing for what little bit I got in between to throw into a pot. If there's any possibilities there, of course, yes, I have 401k. I'm not that fond of it, but I put in the full max of 6%. 6% company matches 100% of that. And that's pretty much all I have, other than, my wife brings home her Social Security and my mother's Social Security. So that's pretty much what we're all sharing around there, paying the bills.
Okay. Yeah. So how long do you plan to continue to work just based on what you know today?
Well, I'm planning on working until at least I can collect my full benefit of 67. As long as I'm healthy, I'll work till I'm 70 for what I do for a living.
Okay, great. And have you taken the time to put together that retirement budget, once you're no longer working in your current capacity, regardless of what the Lord has for you then, whether that's 67 or 70, do you have a good sense of what your monthly income need would be?
Well, by that time, I'm hoping it's just strictly the house note.
Okay, yeah.
Which would be probably around, hypothetically, say $4,000 a month. I'm going to go off on a high end.
Okay, yeah. And how much do you have in the 401k today?
I had made a loan to pay off my credit card debts, which are zero now. So I'm paying back about $16,000 on it. About 3 more years, I'll be finished with that. So I'm looking at right now about $62,500. On a growth.
All right.
Of 22% right now.
Okay. And then between your Social Security and your wife's spousal benefit, if that's what she takes, do you know what you guys will have? Have you looked at your MySSA benefit?
Say that again.
Do you know how much you'll get between your Social Security benefit and your wife's spousal benefit?
My in-between dollars, you're talking about freed up money?
No, how much you'll receive as a check each month from the Social Security Administration at full retirement age?
My guesstimation, I haven't even looked at that, to be honest with you. It's funny you said that. I was just thinking of that.
Yeah, no problem. All right, let's do this. We've got to take a quick break. This is helpful background information. We'll give you our thoughts right around the corner. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
In rural Malawi, baby Esther was taken in by her grandparents when her mother died. Resources were scarce, and Esther suffered from malnutrition for years until God transformed her life. Today, through Cross International, Esther receives nutritious meals, drinks clean water, and is taught about the hope found only in Jesus. But other children are still waiting. Make an eternal impact on a child now with a $62 gift at crossinternational.org/faith.
We see and hear about the big public issues happening in our nation's capital, but what about the things that happen behind the scenes? That information can give us the whole story and help shape our opinions. That's why you need to listen to Washington Watch Weekend with Tony Perkins. He and his guests will give you all parts of the Washington news from a conservative Christian perspective. Catch Washington Watch Weekend Saturdays at 5:05 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central, and Sunday mornings at 3 Central on AFR.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Have you downloaded the Faith Fi app yet? You need to do that today because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training or cultural transformation. AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Mark Biller, our guest today, our good friend, executive editor at SoundMindInvesting.org. We're talking about the big moves, getting those right with your investments. Before the break, we were talking to Martin. He is drives a truck and is 56 years old. He's working full time, doesn't have any credit card debt, has a mortgage, a couple of car payments, and really just thinking about how to manage his finances both now and in the future, specifically for retirement. He's got about $62,000 in that 401k. His company's matching him on a monthly basis. And Mark, any thoughts just as he thinks about, you know, how he should be planning for retirement, what his ultimate retirement goal is, and the investments that go with that?
Yeah, you know, Rob, the counsel that you always give is very similar to what SMI does, and it starts with the framework of establishing a really firm foundation financially, which usually involves trying to pay down debt first. So things like car loans and things, we try to get rid of those as quickly as possible to stop the interest expense that's going out. So we handle that first. We try to establish an emergency savings reserve second. That's kind of the second step. And then at that point, the thought that Martin was calling about, which is great, which is I want to start investing a little bit more. I'm already getting the match in my 401k. That's the first place we always look to invest, because that's free money, that matching money from your company. But then at that point, if you've kind of worked your way up those levels and now you're at the point where you have a little bit of extra money each month to invest, then the question is, how do I do that? And what we look at that point, Rob, is how can we do that in the most tax-efficient way? And usually that's going to lead us to either invest more money in the 401k plan that he's already using, or Martin mentioned that he wasn't real thrilled with his 401k plan, and we don't know the details on that. But for someone who doesn't like the options in their 401k plan, the other kind of parallel opportunity is to invest through an IRA. And this is kind of an example of what we were talking about earlier with picking your investments. You know, a lot of people, if they're just going to use index funds, stock and bond index funds anyway, it just keeps things simpler to just add the additional investing money each month to their 401k. It keeps it all in one place. The employer takes care of all the work of investing, so to speak. So that's a really easy option for people. The IRA is slightly more difficult only because you have to open another account. But why would someone do that? Well, if someone is like an SMI investor and they want to have a broader range of options, they want to invest in the different mutual funds and ETFs that we recommend, they might want the flexibility of an IRA. But either way, Rob, the important bottom line is we're getting more money invested each month, hopefully automating that so you don't even have to think about it. Yeah. And you're getting that at the at a really tax-advantaged way because you're deferring all of those taxes, or in the case of like a Roth IRA, you're potentially setting up an income stream in retirement that won't be subject to taxes at all.
Mm, yeah, very good. Martin, is that helpful?
I think I lost you.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, this broadcast will be posted to AFR.net. You can go back and listen to that. Hopefully we gave you some things to think about. We appreciate you being on the program today, sir. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to Indiana. Hi, William. I understand you have a similar question about saving for retirement. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning, folks. I've been listening to you all morning. I listen to you every day. God
awesome.
Bless you both.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, about 5 minutes ago, Mark was saying something about figuring out what your goal was and then work backwards from it. So I'm just kind of wondering where I'm at and where I stand. I'm 61, so full retirement age is 67, obviously. I don't know if I'm going to go to that or not. But currently I'm employed. I put 5% in traditional IRA, 5% in Roth, and the company matches. It's over 6. It might even be 7%. I just don't follow up on it. I do look at it on the computer because I'm still employed there.
Yeah.
And it gives out projected monthly incomes at 67. And my other guy, my other investment company, I won't mention these names, he says I can comfortably draw about $3,000 a month. So I'm just wondering if I'm at the point that I need to be. My Social Security, obviously, if I go out at 62, takes a big cut. I believe it was just under $2,000. If I wait till 67, it's closer to three. I'm comfortable with $3,000 to $4,000 a month in retirement. And I was just wondering if I am on the right track right now. Combined, I probably have 450, maybe yeah. closer to five altogether with both of them added together.
Excellent. Yeah, thanks for that. Mark?
Yeah, you know, William, it sounds like you're already working with an advisor of some sort, which is really helpful in a case like this because they should be able to give you a much more detailed, you know, projection than we're going to be able to do very quickly, you know, on the radio. But what they would be looking at is, you know, Rob was asking one of the earlier callers, have you worked through what those retirement expenses, what your retirement budget is going to look like? And then from that, you can take the Social Security benefit that you're likely to receive and see what portion of your monthly expenses is covered by Social Security. There's almost always going to be a gap there that's needed to be drawn from your investments to fill that gap. And from there, it's a relatively straightforward calculation of, let's say that you run that calculation and you figure out you need $3,000 a year. I'm just making that up. But if $3,000 is your number that you need from your retirement portfolio, then you can take the amount in your portfolio and figure out, okay, what am I likely to earn if I'm investing this relatively conservatively, and is that going to meet this income goal? And if so, you know, for how long? How long can I expect it to meet that goal? You want to keep an eye on things like inflation in when you're thinking about that, because this is a decades-long kind of projection. But that's the rough framework that you'd be operating in. Mm. Rob, do you have any specifics you want to add to that?
Well, here's a couple of things I really liked about what you said, William, and I agree with everything Mark just shared. I love that you're really maximizing the match. It sounds like your company is very generous. I love that you're splitting it between the Roth and the traditional, because that's going to give you both the tax-free and the tax-deferred buckets to pull from, which is going to solve for one of the issues, which is the unknown of the tax structure when we get to that point. And so you'll have the choice to pull from either one, depending on what's going on in the tax code. That's a good thing. I love that you're clearly living modestly, because you're saying you're thinking you're only going to need $3,000 to $4,000 a month. I'd really dial that number in, because ideally, if the vast majority of that could be covered by Social Security, and by the way, I'd delay that as long as you can and at least get that full benefit, if not more, by waiting beyond full retirement age. That's going to ensure that, you know, your basic expenses are covered. You know, hopefully you're debt free at that point if you're not already, and then you can just let this 401k is, you know, continue to grow, and then you've still got 5 years plus, you know, beyond that for it to be working for you. So sounds like you're in great shape. Hopefully that gave you some additional things to think about. We appreciate your call. Back with our final segment with Mark Biller after this. Stay with us.
Culture is a product of us being placed in a particular location, and it is God's desire that his light bearers would culture or cultivate a particular area.
Join Abraham Hamilton III as he presents the biblical case for cultural engagement. It's a powerful video resource from the American Family Association's Cultural Institute series.
You and I create the culture of our country.
Visit afastore.net.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Mark Biller has been with us. He is having some technical difficulties, not with us at the moment. We'll try to get him back on the line here. We do have some phone lines open. If you have a financial question today, we'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. Bonnie's been waiting patiently in Texas. Bonnie, how can we help?
A long, long time AFR listener. And my question is, my mother, who's 97, has her money invested with Edward Jones. And from that, each month, she's currently in a nursing home. So that's where the funds come from. So my question is, in your opinion, is Edward Jones a place that's safe to keep her money? And I guess the second question, do you have options with them to choose biblically responsible portfolio?
Yeah, it's a great question, Bonnie. You know, Edward Jones is a great firm, you know, very well respected in financial services up and down Wall Street. And they have almost more certified kingdom advisors. They're, you know, right now just closely behind the leader, more certified kingdom advisors than any firm in financial services. There is a ton of advisors that have earned the designation and can bring a biblical worldview of financial decision making and deliver a faith aligned portfolio that would be screened for Christian values. The key would be that you're working with an Edward Jones advisor that has the ability to bring that kind of counsel. And I would, you know, look for a CKA there at Edward Jones if that's not, you know, the current situation. Because although the investments are there, you would need an advisor who could implement that strategy for you. And that may or may not be your current Edward Jones advisor. But the firm itself would be great. And there's plenty of what you call biblically based or faith-based, you know, investment options there that are available to those advisors.
So how would I determine if a certain Edward Jones office is a certified Kingdom advisor?
Yeah, you could just simply ask that question, or you could pull up their, okay, their bio on their website and just see if it's there. You would see the initials or the letters CKA after their name. And that would indicate that they're a certified Kingdom advisor. And then if you decided that they're not and you really want to be with somebody who has the designation and can bring these faith-aligned portfolios and advice, then what you'd probably want to do is go to faithfi.com. That's our website, faithfi.com. Click on Find a Professional. And then, Bonnie, you could do a zip code search right there at the top of the page and bring up the list of CKAs there in your area in Texas. And you know, you could look for those that are with Edward Jones. That would allow you to stay with the same firm, but perhaps just move to a different advisor who shares your values.
Okay. Well, that's a long time question I've had, so I appreciate your advice.
Absolutely, Bonnie. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate you joining us. You know, folks, as we think about investing, you know, more and more Christians are looking for a way to align their investments with their values. And, you know, that can come in a variety of ways. We tend to break it down into kind of three buckets. One is what we call avoid. One is embrace. And another bucket is engage. Let me define those. So avoid is, how do I avoid those companies in my portfolio? Because the reality is, as an owner of a share of stock or even a fractional share of stock, you are an owner of a company. And so how do you align your values with those companies that you're a part owner in? And one of the ways to do that is to avoid or screen out companies that are misaligned with your conscience and convictions. Because either their primary business activity would be something that would misalign with your values. Maybe they're involved in, you know, creating an abortion drug, or, you know, they're an alcohol company, or they're involved in pornography or gambling or something like that. And you'd say, I don't want to own this company. Well, that would make sure that, you know, that would require that you avoid those companies. The embrace is where you say, okay, I've avoided the companies. Now, what if I specifically select those companies that are aligned with my values? I'm only choosing companies, or the investment asset manager is only choosing companies that are promoting human flourishing and thinking about the impact of their business on their stakeholders, customers, and the environment, and, you know, their suppliers and employees and so forth. What the data says, there's empirical evidence that says companies that think about the impact of their business, their goods and services, on their stakeholders, in trying to love their neighbor, actually outperform. Well, you would think that would be true, and it actually is. The data reinforces that. And so by embracing those companies, there's actually an additional source of what we call alpha, which is the way by which you outperform the broad market indexes. So that's embracing. And then the third would be engagement. And by the way, you can do all three of these simultaneously. Engagement is where you say, okay, with those companies I own, I want to engage company leadership around my values. I want to make sure that I'm voting my proxies and I'm you know, weighing in with my Christian values on the things that the company is doing that show up in the form of a proxy vote at the shareholder meeting. And or I'm even suggesting and participating in shareholder resolutions because, you know, they're getting off of their core business and focusing on political efforts or social issues or something that's just misaligned with your values. You know, the ability for Christians to be in the boardroom, theoretically or metaphorically, by way of their votes and being on the phone in those shareholder meetings and engaging with corporate America, I think is a critical piece of shaping our culture. And that's why, frankly, the American Family Association has stepped into this in such a big way and really has become a leader in corporate engagement with their own portfolio because, you know, for since the beginning in Brother Don, you know, it's always been about God's word, a biblical worldview, and cultural engagement. And one of the ways to shape culture is through Washington and through Hollywood. But one of the key ways is through the boardroom, because as goes corporate America, so goes the nation in so many respects. And so the ability for Christians to be present there in those conversations, I think, is a game changer. And AFA has really been leading the way. And that's why each Friday, Walker Wildman and Jerry Boyer join us to talk about what's happening in corporate engagement. And what's happening is really interesting in that so many of the votes now that, you know, historically have just, you know, fallen by the wayside are now, you know, moving more and more in large numbers in the direction of Christian values because God's people are there, a part of the conversation where they haven't been previously. So what do you do with all that? Well, I think first, it's just an understanding that, you know, stock ownership is in fact ownership. Number two, that you can, and this is a conviction matter, so I think it's something you need to search your own heart on and make your own decisions as to how you want to think about this, but you can have your values aligned with your investments. It's been very difficult in the past. Today, it's much easier, and it's getting easier because there's now world-class investments with asset managers, mutual fund managers, that have an explicitly stated faith-based investing mandate. Yes, they're to deliver risk, you know, appropriate risk-adjusted returns for their investors, but they're also, you know, their mandate is in part to make sure that the investments are aligned with biblical values. There's probably 15 fund families, and you know, if you want a list of those, you could go to this website, faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. That's faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. You download a free PDF. That would give you a starting point to either investigate yourself, or perhaps the next step is to take that to your advisor and say, hey, here's a list of faith-based investing mutual funds. Can we talk about what it would look like for my values to be reflected in my portfolio, to make sure I don't own things that are misaligned with my values, to make sure we're voting proxies in a way that aligns with my values, and to make sure that we're looking at companies that are blessing mankind and promoting human flourishing and even promoting kingdom advancement. It's a new day, folks, in terms of your investments and your ability to have your faith and values show up in your investments on a daily basis. Hey, it was a treat to have Mark Biller here today. By the way, if you want to check out this article and find the remaining big moves in your financial and investing life that I think are essential, the article is free and available to you today. You'll find it at soundmindinvesting.org. Again, the article is called Getting the Big Moves Right, and you'll find it at soundmindinvesting.org. You will also find one of the resources that Mark mentioned today, and that is the Risk Tolerance Quiz, a free quiz that might help you determine your risk tolerance. You know, when you're investing, a lot of times people will say, yeah, invest in a way that's aligned with your risk tolerance. And you might say, well, what is that? Well, this could help you answer that question. Again, soundmindinvesting.org. Hey, just real quick before we go today, so many of you are just so gracious in your participation in the program, your affirmation of how it's been an encouragement and helpful to you. And if you'd like to help us reach more people with this message, we'd like to invite you to become a FaithFi partner. These are the men and women across the country that support us monthly at $35 a month or $400 a year. And as a thank you, we send you four copies of our magazine, Faithful Steward, pre-release copies of our studies and devotionals. And our next one comes out next month, Wisdom Over Wealth, 12 Lessons on Money from Ecclesiastes. We also send you quarterly ministry updates. To learn more and become a partner today, just go to faithfi.com and click give, faithfi.com. Big thanks to my team today, Taylor Standrich, Devin Patrick, Sandy Dickinson, and everybody here at FaithFi. Enjoy the rest of your day and come back and see us tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.